And welcome back inside the home office. I'm Craig D'Amico, and this is the season finale, episode 14 of NEC Football on the Run podcast 2025. We are coming off of lucky week 13 of the 30th season of NEC Football, and the road to the 2025 NEC Football Championship has indeed reached its final stop. The key game of the weekend was Central Connecticut State and Mercyhurst. That game kind of held all the cards. If Central won, they would have clinched the NEC's automatic playoff bid for a second straight season. But if Mercyhurst won, the Lakers would have clinched a share of the title, and that would have opened the door for a host of other teams. Wagner would have had a shot to win a share of the title against LIU. Duquesne would have had a shot to win a share of the championship against Robert Morris. And the Dukes would have also had the ball in their court to win the FCS playoff bid. So the Central Mercyhurst game was the game that would kind of resonate around the rest of the league and dictate how the rest of the weekend went. So coming up on this week's show, we'll go back and we'll take a look and see how it all played out on the final week of the season. We will get one final check of the league standings and the league leaderboard. We'll also select the top three stars for the final week. We'll chat with the champs in our Commitment to Success spotlight, and we will preview the upcoming first round matchup in the FCS playoffs. But first, let's start it up one more time with a check of the top headlines. Let's go. It's time for our pick six. And we start in New Britain, Connecticut, a root field for the two-time reigning and defending NEC champion Central Connecticut State Blue Devils taking on the Mercyhurst Lakers. Again, as we outlined with all the scenarios at the top of the pod, this was the game that was going to dictate how the rest of the NEC Saturday schedule went. Mercyhurst, they come in having 1-2 in a row. The Blue Devils looking to rebound after that tough loss last week in Pittsburgh. Now, Mercyhurst on their first drive had a 2nd-and-1 at their own 30. They had back-to-back incompletions. And rather than go for it on 4th-and-1, I know they were at their own 30-yard line, but a champion playing for their first championship since 2010, not supposed to be there, certainly in this position, their first full year in the league. A team that has gone for it on 4th down, statistically, more than any other FCS team in the country. They had 4th-and-1 on their opening drive, and they opted to punt it. As an observer, that kind of went against all the play calling that they've been doing all season long. They opted to go for it punt it instead of go for it on 4th-and-1, and that came back to bite them because they did punt it away, and Braden Hall from the Blue Devils returned it 49 yards to the Laker 22-yard line. And on the very next play, Central's first play from scrimmage, their first touch from scrimmage of the game, Elijah Howard took it to the right for a 22-yard touchdown, and just like that, it was 7-0 Central. Blue Devils making Mercyhurst pay by not being as aggressive as they've been all season long. But Hall's big return set up the touchdown. On the next series, though, Hall made a major blunder. He muffed a punt deep in his own end. It was recovered by the Lakers. And on Mercyhurst's next touch, after the fumble recovery, Dylan Evans took a push pass that was ruled a rush attempt. Pass, run, whatever it is, he went around the right side for a 5-yard touchdown to tie the game at 7. Central went 3 and out on offense, and then the Lakers got the ball back. They went on the drive, 7 plays, 66 yards in just under 5 minutes to take a lead 14-7 on the road on a Brian Trouble 2-yard touchdown run. Now, speaking about touchdown runs, after giving up over 300 rushing yards last week to Duquesne, the Central run defense, question mark coming in, still had its issues on Saturday. They gave up some big chunk plays to Mercyhurst on the ground, and the Mercyhurst Lakers, they're a team that wants to pass. They want to throw the ball with Adam Urena, but if you're going to give them the big holes, you know, they're not going to stand there and just look at it. They're going to take it, and they certainly took advantage with Trouble in this game. After Howard tied the game at 14 with a 2nd touchdown run at the end of the first, Trouble took one of those advantages we were talking about with the big holes, 63-yard touchdown run down the far sideline, made it 21-14 Lakers. Blue Devils with really bad nightmarish flashbacks going back to what Taj the running back did to them the week before. Now, Central tied it just before halftime, 15-yard Brady Olsen to Michael Trovarelli touchdown connection, and then it got crazy. Central was driving in the final seconds of the first half. They were trying to get a 2-for-1, just like last week. Score right at the end of the first half, get the opening kickoff to start the second half, get two scores, put the game out of reach. But just like last week, Olsen was intercepted by Chris Thompson, and Thompson this time returned it 51 yards to the Blue Devil 24. It set up a 41-yard field goal attempt by Max Young, who was just out of his range. Coach Remedio told us his young kicker comfortable maybe 30 to 40 yards if all conditions were perfect. This was just outside that at 41 yards, and Max Young with 3 seconds to go, his field goal was no good. So it stayed 21 all at halftime. And just like last week, after the missed opportunity at the end of the first half, Central came out on a mission firing offensively to start the second half. 8 plays, 75 yards. They got an Olsen to Donnie Marcus touchdown to go in front, while Mercyhurst countered later on in the third quarter with an Adam Urena 11-yard touchdown and Taylor Wright Rawls. We go to the fourth quarter, the final 15 minutes of the regular season, championship implications on both sides in this game and multiple games going on outside of this game in the NEC. All eyes on New Britain going to the fourth quarter tied at 28. Now, Central's defense, in addition to giving up the big gashing run plays, they hadn't recorded a takeaway in 3 games after leading the league with 13 takeaways prior to that stretch, or that rut, whatever you want to call it. Their turnover margin in this game was at -2 after turning the ball over 3 times last week. But the defense got the takeaway they needed when it mattered the most. Opening minute of the fourth quarter, Mercyhurst was backed up at their own 12. They handed it off to Brian Trouble, who fumbled, and it was recovered by Central's Dylan Jones, setting the Blue Devils up in prime position. 3rd and 7 on the 8-yard line. Olsen found Howard, an 8-yard touchdown. Olsen's 3rd touchdown pass of the game. Howard's 3rd overall touchdown of the game. It was 35-28 Central. And so we go to the final minute. What else is new for Central Connecticut? This is what every Central game comes down to every single week for the last 2 months. A one-score game going into the final minute. Mercyhurst driving after a missed Central field goal. Mercyhurst had a 1st and 10 at the Central 12. 12 yards away from potentially tying. Watching this live, again, seeing how Mercyhurst has called their plays, they were in the exact same situation in their finale last year, scoring a late touchdown. And last year against St. Francis, they opted to go for 2. I was thinking championship on the line. If they go down and get this touchdown, maybe instead of kicking the field goal, extra point to send it to overtime after the touchdown, maybe they go for the championship and they go for 2. We'll never know, because 1st and 10 at the Central 12-yard line, incomplete pass, incomplete pass, incomplete pass. And then on 4th down, 4th and ball game, incomplete pass. Central's defense makes the stand at the 12-yard line, doesn't allow the Lakers to get any further. The Lakers turn it over on downs. Central runs out the clock, and the Blue Devils win it 35-28. Central already had wrapped up an 8th overall and 2nd straight conference title, but now they don't have to share it. They are the league's automatic FCS playoff bid winner for a 2nd straight season and for the 4th time in program history. Elijah Howard at 25 carries for 163 yards and 2 touchdowns, his 3rd straight 100-yard rushing game. He's finishing the year strong. He also had 4 catches for 25 yards receiving and a receiving touchdown. He wins the league's rushing title after finishing as the runner-up each of the last 2 years, the first Blue Devil to win a rushing title since Naz Smith in 2022. He also gets over 1,000 yards rushing in a season for the first time, the 12th different Central running back to accomplish that feat. Now, Central's defense did give up 269 rushing yards, and for a lot of Central fans, that is the last 2 weeks what they've seen with the rush defense, a cause for concern. But they held Mercyhurst to 6-for-14 on 3rd down and just 1-for-4 on 4th down. They forced the key turnover when they needed it at the start of the 4th quarter, and they made 2 red zone stands in the 4th quarter alone, including the final one at the end of the game to clinch it. So defense bent, but didn't fully break. We will have more on the Blue Devils later on in the show as we will look ahead to their upcoming FCS playoff matchup. So, with that result, that meant every other team that was still in contention going into the week was now eliminated from championship contention, including the Duquesne Dukes, who had a renewed energy after beating Central last week following two straight defeats. But in the middle of the second quarter in their game against Robert Morris, the news and the final score came in from Connecticut, and it had to be a little bit of a gut punch. They were riding the emotional wave on an emotional high, thinking that maybe things can go their way and they could get the FCS playoff bid. But then they learned that, well, it was all over. And at that point, they were just playing for pride as their championship hopes were dashed. Now, they did get a 71-yard touchdown to start the game. Tyler Rydell to Joey Isabella. Isabella becoming the fifth Duke to get to 30 career touchdowns. But once that news came into the Central score, they were in the middle of the second quarter, and Duquesne gave up 10 unanswered points. Robert Morris, who was starting their fourth different quarterback of the season in this one, went into halftime with a 10-7 lead. Early in the fourth quarter, Robert Morris, Kai Holloway ran back a punt return 63 yards to the house. Robert Morris had a field goal lead 17-14, but Matt Clark, the kicker for Duquesne, would tie it at 17 with a 34-yard field goal midway through the fourth, and then he would come back on with time expiring. He connected with a game-winning walk-off 33-yard field goal as zeros got on the clock. Duquesne finished strong, but ultimately, they finished one game short. They win it on the walk-off field goal 20-17, but just miss out on a championship and the FCS playoffs. Tyler Rydell threw for 214 yards and two touchdowns. He went over 10,000 passing yards in his career. But, I mean, you're playing college football for 20 years. Eventually, you're going to get to 10,000. Ness Davis, the running back, ran for a career-high 179 yards. Last week, it was the Taj, the running back game. This week, it was the Ness Davis game. Davis back relatively healthy, 179 yards on the ground. And Duquesne got their first game-winning field goal as time expired since 2009 at Sacred Heart. Now in Brookville, New York, the LIU Sharks won their rivalry game with Wagner 24-17 on a fourth quarter comeback. The Sharks finished the year 6-6, 4-3 in conference, their best ever finish in Division I. They won their last three games of the season. What else is new? Another 3-1 record in the final four games of the season for Coach Cooper. LIU knows how to finish the year strong. They're now 13-3 over their final four games in the last 4 years. Now, Wagner had taken a 17-14 lead in the third quarter on a Shamar Williams 62-yard fumble return touchdown. But in the fourth, Ethan Greenwood had a 2-yard touchdown run, and LIU added a 32-yard Will Johnson field goal to take a 7-point lead. Wagner still had a chance. Final drive ended on a 4th-and-9 at the LIU 39-yard line. An incomplete pass by Damian Mazel turned it over on downs, and LIU was able to run out the clock from there. The Sharks 278 yards rushing as a team, led by Ethan Greenwood, who was doing Ethan Greenwood-like things. He passed for 155 and a touchdown. He ran for 103 and a touchdown, helping the Sharks get the rivalry win. In Massachusetts, the other game going on in the NEC, that the one that did not have any championship implications coming into the weekend in Massachusetts, Stonehill defeated St. Francis 20-10, a great effort by the Stonehill D, who forced 5 turnovers in this game, 3 interceptions and 2 fumbles. So let's take a look at the final NEC standing. Central Connecticut stands alone as the sole NEC champion of 2025 with an 8-4 record and a 6-1 record in league play. They lead the NEC with 8 championships, now have won 2 in a row, and have clinched a 4th overall and 2nd straight FCS playoff appearance. Duquesne finishes as the runner-up at 7-5, 5-2 in conference play, 1 behind Central, but the Dukes do rebound from 2 tough losses to win their final 2 games in a row. LIU wins their last 3 straight to finish at 6-6. They are one of 3 teams to finish in a 3rd-place tie with a 4-3 league record. Stonehill is in 6th place at 3-4. Robert Morris, 1 behind them at 2-5. New Haven, we know, will forever be 0-0 in league play in 2025. They did not play a full league schedule this year. They went 0-3 in unofficial NEC games. They finished their inaugural year 2 weeks ago at 5-5 overall. And then we have St. Francis making history as the seventh team in 30 years to go through an entire season winless. They finish at 0-11, 0-7 against the NEC. And a look at how some of the league leaders finished up. Elijah Howard wins the rushing title, gets over 1,000 yards. He's second in the league with 11 touchdown runs. Brian Trabell leads the league with 12, although Howard will have at least one more game to try and tie or surpass Brian Trabell in the rushing scores category. Brady Olsen led the league with over 2,800 passing yards, while Tyler Riddell finished as the league leader for now with 26 touchdown passes. Again, Brady Olsen has at least one more game. It was the second straight year a Duke King quarterback finished with 25 or more touchdown passes. And perhaps that's because the Duke King quarterbacks have had Joey Isabella to throw to. The Duke King wide receiver makes it a second straight year that we have a wide receiver winning the league's triple crown, finishing first place in all three important receiving categories. 63 receptions, 839 yards, 13 touchdowns. Isabella led the league with all those marks. Gavin Taylor, Scoop Gardner led the league with 7 sacks apiece. Taylor still has one more game left at least, while Trey Watkins led the league with 5 interceptions, one better than Chris Jean. And again, Chris Jean still has one more game at least to play. Now for the final time this season, it's our top 3 stars of the week, and we begin with our honorable mentions. Central Connecticut grad student quarterback Brady Olsen, 22 for 35, 221 yards, 3 touchdowns, and a pick. Great story this week. His parents have been to every single NCAA game that he has played in. 25 starts with Central Connecticut, and they were on hand to see him win a second straight league title and lead his team to the league playoffs, to the FCS playoffs on Saturday. Also there on Saturday was Mercer's senior running back Brian Trabello. Had a great game, 21 carries, 166 yards, 2 touchdowns. However, that fourth quarter fumble that led to the game-winning touchdown for Central Connecticut, that's going to be haunting him for quite some time. LIU junior quarterback Ethan Greenwood was 11 for 15 passing for 115 yards, a touchdown, and a pick. But he also ran 21 times for 103 yards. He had a rushing touchdown in LIU's rivalry win against Wagner. And shout out to Duquesne kicker Matt Clark, the 6'7". Of course, he's number 67. He just had to be. 2 for 2 in field goals, including the game-tying and the 42-yard game-winning field goal in the fourth quarter against Robert Morris. But now to our top 3 stars of the week. And at number 3, it's Duquesne grad student wide receiver Joey Isabella. He struck early with a 71-yard touchdown in the first to get to 30 career touchdowns in a Duquesne uniform. He finished the day with 5 catches, 108 yards, and the score. He won the 2025 NEC wide receiver triple crown. He's our number 3 star here in our regular season finale. Our number 2 star, Stonehill sophomore defensive back Anthony Busa, the Newtown, Massachusetts native, had an afternoon with 12 tackles, a half a sack, and an interception, stuffing all the defensive categories against St. Francis. But our number 1 star of the week, Central Connecticut State senior running back Elijah Howard. Howard had the hat trick, 3 touchdowns in Central Connecticut State's FCS bid clinching game against Mercyhurst. He had 25 carries, 163 yards, and 2 rushing touchdowns, his third straight 100-yard rushing game. He got over 1,000 yards, won the rushing title, also caught a touchdown. His touchdown at the start of the fourth quarter ended up being the playoff clinching touchdown for Central. Howard has 15 overall touchdowns this year and has scored at least 1 in every game he's played in except against LIU. That's it. Elijah Howard finishes the year as our number 1 star in Central's championship FCS bid clinching win. Perhaps he wins a second straight player or offensive player of the year. You'll have to check out the NEC All Elite, all our award winners available on NEC social media and at NECSports.com. But coming up next here on NEC Football on the Run, it's time for our Commitment to Success Spotlight. It's brought to you by Provident Bank, commitment you can count on. And today we check in with one of the unsung leaders of the now 2-time reigning and defending NEC champion Central Connecticut State, their veteran offensive lineman, Isaiah Deloach. Up next here on NEC Football On the Run, it is time for our Commitment to Success Spotlight, brought to you by Provident Bank. Provident Bank, commitment you can count on. And joining us today for our season finale, it's senior offensive lineman from the now two-time reigning and defending NEC champion Central Connecticut State Blue Devils, it's Isaiah Deloach. Isaiah, welcome to the spotlight.
Thank you for having me.
We're so excited to have you. You're coming off a game on Saturday for the second straight year. Central Connecticut won their home regular season finale to clinch a spot in the FCS playoffs. It was a 35-28 win on Saturday against Mercyhurst. So what was it like for you on Saturday to be a part of that and walk off of a Root Field for a second straight year lifting a trophy?
Oh, it was awesome. It was an amazing feeling. You know, kind of in like a state of shock, really. Like, you're out there, your plane's going back and forth. The last drive comes down to a fade ball in the end zone. You're sitting there on the edge of your seat on the sideline as an offensive player. You're just excited. And, you know, after that happened, it was a whirlwind of emotions.
Well, that's been Central football for like the last 2 months. You've had 7 one-score games this year, winning 4 of them. So what's it like? How's your team able to kind of, you know, when it's down to those final plays in the final minute, pull it out more times than not?
Oh, we just stick together. You know, we're a true family here at Central. We fight to the end. We'll never quit on each other. We have each other's back. It starts in winter conditioning to summer conditioning. And always, we stick together through the thick, the rough, and all that.
Now, takeaways had been few and far between for your defense the last few games, but on Saturday, the defense got a perfectly timed takeaway at the start of the fourth quarter, a fumble recovered that handed it off to the offense on a short field, which led to what ended up being the game-winning touchdown. So when you saw your defense get that takeaway, what was going through your mind on the sideline?
Oh, score. We have to score. That's the first thing that came to my mind is we're here. We're 20 yards away. Let's go put in the end zone. And we did it.
Now, this year, Central Connecticut finished with the number one total offense in the NEC, as well as individually a rushing champ, a passing yards champ. The offensive line only allowed 15 sacks all year. What was the key for the offense? You were good last year to kind of take another step forward this year.
Just knowing that we can always strive for perfection, but we never reach it. So push each other every week. You know, we've got to live in the moment. So we're always preaching play the next play. And we did that this year and did it to a high level.
Now, on the offensive line, we know you were back, Precious back as well, but there are a lot of new guys in the mix this year. That was one of the big question marks coming into the season. So how is the offensive line able to form that chemistry as the season went along?
Yeah, a lot of times together, you know, really striving for perfection. We knew that last year we had a great O-line. We had to match it. We had to be close to it. We always say we're more athletic than that line last year. You know, we might be young, but we're a little more athletic than them. So we really used our athleticisms to go out there, dominate D lines, and have fun out there.
Now let's talk a little bit about you, your football journey. How was it? When was it growing up that you kind of fell in love with the game of football? You knew that this was the sport for you.
Yeah, so my story is kind of crazy. So I grew up playing hockey. I was a hockey guy growing up, and that took up 99% of my time. I was traveling for hockey, but I always had this feeling for football. I always wanted to play. I would ask my mom, always trying to play, but she goes, well, you have to want to play football, you got to quit hockey. So I was like, I can't really do that. So I got lucky. When I got to high school my freshman year. The high school dropped their hockey team. We had no more hockey team. So I was like, oh, well, I want to play football. Let's try it. So tried it, fell in love with it, started on the D-line my freshman year, and then sophomore year got moved to O-line, fell in love with offensive tackle, and then just grew from there, and it's continued to grow every single year.
So you did not play tackle football at all until you started high school?
No, not now. I played
wow.
I played one little season of flag football while I lived in Pennsylvania, but that was just flag. That was it.
So who knows if your school hadn't dropped the hockey team, who knows, you know, where you'd be right
yeah,
now.
Literally.
Yeah. Central certainly glad that worked out. What led you to Central Connecticut after other stops? What led you to New Britain?
For me, it was the culture at Central. No, I came on my visit and from the jump, it was everyone's a family here. Like it's a true family, for like staff, like everything. And Central is a great place. You know, they keep expanding, get better, better every year. I just love here. I wouldn't change it for the world. I made the right choice.
Now, you talk about culture. I know talking with Coach Lechtenberg and many people around the program this year, they pointed to you as someone who really doesn't get a lot of ton of flowers. You're at a position that doesn't have a lot of big stats, but they talk about you being a leader and a great teammate and someone who had to persevere through injury to work your way back. So what does it mean to you? They've said what you kind of mean to them. What does the program kind of mean to you?
AS program's everything to me. Last year I had a chance to leave, to go to the portal, decided to stay because this is where I grew myself. I've grown for to be a better man at Central, and it only felt right to finish it out here and go back to back here. And Leck, I gave him a hug yesterday, and he goes, "This is why you came back, for this moment right here." And I was like, 100%.
Now you're coming back for another shot at the FCS playoffs, and as it turns out, the same opponent that you guys saw a year ago, it was a one possession loss to URI last year. Central in the FCS playoffs for a fourth time. Quick look ahead to that matchup. What do you expect to see when you head up to Rhode Island to play the Rams?
Yeah, it's going to be a dogfight. They're a very good team, very stout defensively, very good offensively. So it's going to be a dogfight. As long as we stick together and do Central football, we will have a chance. We'll have a chance out there.
Now, we're going to get you out here with the final five questions. These are quick hitters. So, first thing that comes to mind, just let it out. All right.
There.
All right. Favorite color?
Blue.
Okay. I mean, you're in a room full of blue, so that makes sense.
Ooh.
Favorite karaoke song?
Oh, I'm losing. I can't even think of a song right now. Favorite karaoke song, probably. Let's just say Freebird. It's fun. Why not?
Okay, I love
Freebird.
it. Love it. Favorite snack or junk food?
Oh, cookies all day.
Okay. Now you already got the championship ring, so we checked it off. So, what is the new number one item on the holiday wish list this year for you?
Want a playoff game. That's what I
Okay,
want.
that's up next. And finally, we've seen and we talked about those rings from last year. Beautiful. You're going to get another one. What is a word or a phrase that you feel should be inscribed on the ring that would perfectly describe the 2025 Central Connecticut State Blue Devils team?
Family. Family has to be on it. Family. This is a family team this year. Big family team.
That fits perfectly. I mean, that's a great way to finish up. Isaiah, we thank you so much for taking the time to join us here, and we wish you and the team best of luck representing the NEC in the FCS playoffs starting on Saturday.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So you can check out Isaiah and the Blue Devils taking on URI in the FCS playoffs. Kickoff is at noon Saturday on ESPN Plus. Thank you for joining us all year long. You could check out the full episode of the NEC Football on the Run on the NEC Overtime Pod, wherever you get your podcasts. This has been the Commitment to Success Spotlight, brought to you by Provident Bank. We thank Isaiah for stopping by. You didn't get to see it if you're listening on the pod. If you're watching on YouTube, you certainly got to see it. Isaiah bringing a little championship swag. He's wearing the championship t-shirt for Central Connecticut State. So good to see Isaiah enjoying a little bit of the championship privileges, trophy. Getting to play in the FCS playoffs and getting a little t-shirt as well. But Blue Devils still have some work to do. Coming up next on tap, the NEC champion Central Connecticut State Blue Devils will be back on their way to the FCS playoffs. What an incredible season for Central. As the reigning champions, we knew this coming in. They had the target on their back all season long. Last year, they were picked seventh. They kind of snuck up on everybody as they won the championship. Not the case this year. They had the target on their back since day one. They had those back-to-back losses snatched from the jaws of victory games against Merrimack and Dartmouth. And then the week after that, it looked like here we go again as they blew a lead in the final minute against Sacred Heart. But they came back to win that game. They won five straight games overall. And even though that winning streak ended in that tough loss against Duquesne, they came back at home, refocused, and took care of business, won their fourth trip to the FCS playoffs in program history. They finished the year as the number one ranked offense in the NEC. And while the defense didn't quite reach some of the big numbers the defense had a year ago, they brought in a lot of new guys, especially in that front seven, and they stepped up. They learned quick on the job. It was a unit that certainly bent but didn't break. They made the plays when the team needed them the most. So, Central, once again, champions. They gathered on Sunday to watch the selection special to learn their fate. And once again, they drew the Rhode Island Rams. They must have thought someone screwed up and popped in a tape of last year's selection show. Instead, they were watching a replay. No, that was this year's show. They're actually going back to play the Rams again. The Rams, the number nine overall seed in the tournament. They finished 10-2 for a second straight year. And this year they were a perfect 8-0 in the Colonial, winning the Colonial for a second straight season after prior to that, they hadn't had a spot in the FCS playoffs since 1985. Now they're going back for a second straight year. The Rams and Blue Devils have met five times last year in the FCS playoffs. It was a very close 21-17 Rams win. URI built up a 14-0 lead in the first quarter. It looked like they were going to run away with it, but Central came back to tie the game at 14, and it was tied going into the fourth quarter. But the URI run game was much too much. That sounds like it could be interesting considering the current state of the rush defense for Central. URI last year ran for 226 yards on the ground against this Blue Devil team, again pulling it out in the fourth quarter by 4 points, 21-17. And it's ironic because the rush defense, big concern for Central once again, and this kind of came out of nowhere. They were rolling. They gave up only 48 rush yards to Wagner, 109 against LIU with their running quarterbacks and their running backs. Only 109 is probably, you know, really strong. And then they gave up 60 rushing yards against Stonehill. So that's 217 rushing yards allowed total over a three-game span. But in the two games since that three-game span, they've given up 360 rushing yards to Duquesne and 269 rushing yards last week to Mercyhurst. URI in their last two games, they ran for 264 and four touchdowns against Maine and 201 yards and three touchdowns in their final game against Hampton. Their redshirt senior running back, Antoine Littleton Jr., is really good. Similar to Howard, the Central running back, over 1,100 yards and 11 touchdowns. There's a couple of receiving touchdowns. Five times this year, Littleton has been over 100 yards rushing, including 119 against LIU, the NEC team that URI had on their schedule this year. And he had a season-high 202 yards rushing just 2 weeks ago against Maine. So if Central has any chance to keep it close and maybe even pull off the win that they didn't get, they just fell short in getting last year, they got to find a way to stop the run. They have to find a way to stop this run against a team that runs the ball really, really well. And Central has to win the turnover battle. They've turned the ball over five times just in their last two games, and they only have that one takeaway, although it was a key takeaway at the start of the fourth quarter, only one key takeaway. So they have to win the turnover battle, stop the run. Those are the keys for Central Connecticut as they make their fourth trip to the FCS playoffs as the NEC champion. They went in 2017, lost to New Hampshire 14-0. They were shut out, turned the ball over four times. They lost in 2019 to Albany 42-14. The game was tied at seven at halftime, but then they were outscored 28-0 and outgained 237-57 in the third quarter. And then, of course, we already mentioned their loss to URI last year, 21-17, a game that went into the fourth quarter all tied up. The game this year, it'll be played at noon in Rhode Island on Saturday, November 29th on ESPN+. Be sure to check it out. The winner will advance to the second round to face off against the number 8 seeded UC Davis, who earned a bye. That game will be coming up beginning of December the following week. So that'll just about do it for this week's episode and for season 30 of NEC football. Congratulations to our 2025 champions, the Blue Devils, and be sure to follow their run as the NEC's rep into the FCS playoffs. And also, as we mentioned, go back and check out our 2025 NEC Elite All Conference winners over on NECsports.com. Thank you for being with us all season long here on the pod, and we hope to see you back in 2026 for season 31 of NEC football. Until then, I'm Craig D'Amico, and this has been NEC Football on the Run.